During the opening days of the legislative session, department secretaries meet with legislators during committee sessions, give overviews of their departments, review the past year, and discuss legislative plans for the upcoming session. It's been a challenging year for K-12 education, and newly appointed Secretary Tiffany Sanderson met with House Education Committee members to talk about the impact of COVID-19 and the plans to update civics education standards in the state. Today's In Their Own Words segment takes you inside the room for that conversation.
Okay, our presentation will begin with the Secretary of Education, our new highly esteemed Secretary of Education, Tiffany Sanderson, and she will present some information on the Department of Education and maybe the direction that she sees the department is going.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tiffany Sanderson. I joined the Department of Education 37 days ago as Secretary of Education, so enjoy the opportunity to check in with you this morning, share a bit of what's been happening at the department over this last year since the legislature was in session, and take a look ahead as to what we're thinking about and looking to help support schools and school boards with as we look beyond this academic year and all the challenges that it's brought. Around K-12, the impact, the real focus there is ensuring that students have consistent and quality education in the state. So we're largely a regulatory and technical assistance organization. We partner with local school boards, local school administrators, and educators as they make an implementation of K-12 education. They make education happen in the classroom. We administer and monitor several federal programs. You might be familiar with special education or programs like Title I, Perkins or Career and Technical Education, and Child and Adult Nutrition Services are some of the large federal programs that we administer. Academic content standards are a large portion of our work, helping to set the stage for what students should know, understand, and do in different content areas and at different grade levels. The Board of Education Standards is charged with public hearings on those standards and approving them. And then state aid to education is also a major component of what our finance staff works on in supporting schools and their accounting for, reporting on, and use of state aid.
Question, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Secretary. Good morning. Regarding academic content standards, given COVID and so forth this last year, how has that impacted the standards? Have they been disbanded over the year, or how are we going to know, or maybe we don't want to know, how our students are doing? Go ahead. Thank you.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Jensen. So school has continued in a variety of different ways. It certainly looked different over this last year, and I would say from my viewpoint, and I think I speak on behalf of most educators, that it has not been an ideal year in terms of academic progress for students, but in a year of challenge, schools have risen to the occasion to support students in multiple ways, academically and for their entire well-being. And at this point at the state, we do not have hard data on where students were now 2 years ago versus at this moment. What I will say is that we plan to administer the state assessment still this spring, which will help give us insight onto where are we exactly at and where do we go from here. I'll commend districts at local levels within local school buildings and classrooms. Schools have continued to check in with students through benchmark assessments, informal assessments, screenings where that's been appropriate to help identify what students' needs are in terms of academics, special education services, English language learners, and a variety of different needs that students present. And so while we don't have that hard data in terms of a summative state assessment right now, schools very much understand what their students are facing, where they're at, and what their needs are. So as we look beyond COVID, how do we take the positive pieces forward? I think that this time has helped us understand just how much we need to meet students where they're at on an academic front and regarding their social and emotional needs to make sure that they are able to learn as well as possible in the classroom and prepared for what life brings them after their schooling experience. So you heard the governor introduce in the budget address a piece for civics and history education. And in the State of the State this week, she talked about the importance of our students understanding their history, understanding how our government works, experiencing that firsthand, practicing through mock legislatures, through the art of debate, how to prepare and know where we can make productive change, how we can civilly have conversations that are challenging together. And so we'll be sharing more details on our proposal around civics education history. But there's an opportunity here to develop materials to support our classroom teachers around South Dakota history, how our government in South Dakota works, engage them with elected officials at the local and state level, involve them in debate so that they have practice in coaching and feel confident in their abilities as they go forward. And moving forward, as we set the state, we at the state level spend less time on COVID, more time thinking about traditional activities. DOE itself will refocus our efforts on our strategic plan. We have started work around identifying and replicating bright spots related to Native American education. That work will continue and has continued throughout the last 10 months. We're going to comprehensively update distance learning and the resources that we provide, strengthening competency-based education models for education, so teaching teachers that model and supporting the implementation through boards and administrators and families in our schools is a part of our next steps. And of course, supporting good teaching, strong instruction in the classroom. And then guiding schools in spending unprecedented funds that have come over the last 10 months so that we have meaningful long-term impact rather than just funneling resources out quickly. So on that front, in this last round of funding, the Supplemental Act that came through in December, for education, we will be receiving four times as much funding this round as we did in the first round, to the tune of $170 million through ESSER II. That funding will be available to our schools through September of 2023. Like the first round, 90% of that will be allocated out to the public districts based on the title formula. So schools with higher poverty levels will receive more funding through this required distribution. We'll be able to keep 10% at the state for state-level activities, and we're talking to educators and service providers now about proposals on how we can most effectively invest that funding. There's a lot of flexibility for schools and for the state in these funds and their uses. The emphasis that Congress put on the funding was in reopening schools, so a big check mark there for South Dakota. We got the first one done. The second one was prioritizing services to support learning loss, helping students to catch up. And the third was to address general impacts from COVID. So that gives us a lot of room and flexibility. Madam Chair, I'll pause there if anybody has questions on this funding.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my question is not so much on the funding, if I could have just a little bit of lenience, Madam Chair. I wanted to go back to what you said about the civics and the history, and to me that's a very important issue to me personally, and I was excited to hear of that proposal from the governor in the State of the State address. So in regards to some of the civics history and other things along those lines, are we going to be developing these standards within the state of South Dakota, or do we have kind of a guideline on where these might be developed?
Representative Dennard, so I shared at the very beginning, one of the things that the Board of Education Standards has governance over and the department is in charge of coordinating or leading are academic standards. Academic standards are reviewed and revised every 7 years, and timing is fortuitous right now. The social studies standards, K-12, are up for revision starting this summer. And so in April, we'll start the process of reviewing or revising K-12 standards and social studies. So that includes government, history, geography, and economics-related standards across the full system. So that will be a key piece of the process. We'll bring together experts, historians, tribal representatives, educators, and others to review what we currently have in South Dakota in terms of social studies standards and provide recommendations on what the next iteration looks like, revisions to our current standards, taking some out, adding some in. So that'll be a key piece of basis for this this conversation as we go forward. The Board of Education Standards will hold public hearings on the recommended revised standards next year in the fall. So those would start with implementation the following school year, which would be fall of 2022 would be the first that training would happen for teachers. They'd be making the transition.
The K through 12 education funding formula and the plan to update civics education standards or social studies education standards will be addressed with legislation during the 2021 session.